Jesus. We've been journeying with Jesus for the last couple of Sundays. We're going to do that for the next, we're just going to journey with Jesus through the year. And I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying it. And I'll get to play with it perhaps a little bit more than you do. As I'm taking it through, and it's fascinating, and broken for the discipleship group this morning. We're looking at one of the passages that's going to get preached, and it's like, okay, we'll preach that one. But I've been enjoying it. Just probably love to hear from you what you're running into, maybe something you've missed before because of the dynamic of joining with everybody and maybe doing it differently. And feel free to let me know, what you're hearing, or even your questions, because that might prompt you to do something differently as you go through the year. Now, if you've been reading the harmony of the gospel, let me kind of bring you up to speed where we are for those of you who are having a day that will help you. For those who have been reading through the harmony, the full gospel of the Lord that took place, we are post-introduction, we are post-great narrative. We're past the passages from John the Baptist. We've already looked at Jesus' temptation. Jesus has started to call his disciples. He has put water in the wine. He hung out with Nicodemus late one night, talking with a woman at the well. And he has already faced some rejection near his hometown. He healed Peter's mother and wife. Jesus has been busy. He has been busy in just his fourth time, just a few pages in my Bible, but in his fourth time, the time he was on planet. Now, the study passage today, you'll find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, though I've chosen to use the Mark version, and then I'll take the varying text and pull them in from Matthew and Luke. And so the amalgamated text that we have this morning, allow me to read to you, it will be behind you in Matthew 2 as well. Mark 1, starting at verse 4. When Jesus came down to the mountain side to one of the towns, and to tell us which one, he came down to one of the towns, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy, or who was covered with leprosy, that is just a side note here, I'm going to use the word leprosy for the rest of the sermon, but I just want to let you know it's a very generic word that's in the original text, and it just means some kind of contagious skin disease. A man covered with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees and fell on his face to the ground and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Read that with me. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus was indignant. And you know the idea of the NIV, some of you give me a hard time, so I use that enough. The NIV is in here. I have to tell you this morning, we're going to take for the NIV because they blew it. This translation for this work here. Indignant as well. Jesus was moved with compassion. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Now again, I need you to know something that you won't know me again later. I forget. But he touched him before he was healed. And this is a contagious disease. Verse 42. Immediately, the man was cleansed, as it was the leprosy left him, and he was left cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell anyone this. But then refer yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, the man went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, or he withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere to hear him and to be healed of their sins. So I'm going to give you a couple of side notes before we start. And there's just kind of thoughts that are floating around in your mind as we open the passage up. But you probably already know this, but I'll just say it for my benefit. Good news travels quickly. And it draws those who think they're going to benefit from the good news. Like the other day, I was served a giant amount that had been out of fire. That could not be buried for 24 hours. And they described it. But good news travels quickly and draws those who think just a reality. It's a reality back then, or it's a reality today. And I just answer that because the cards are continuing to come to Jesus, no matter what he's told people to do, because the vision is traveled, people are getting healed. And as I look at that, or some of the cards we're looking at, there's a complication. Jesus is there, the cards are coming, he's got a mission, he's trying to make a difference. And the problem is, and you're going to say, so, if Jesus was in one place at a time, that's fine, but it's important for us because it impacts what he decided to do and how he decided. Now, I ask you that as a thinking point. I want that to kind of float beside you as we go through the passage today. Because there are people who wonder why Jesus didn't do more miracles. Well, he didn't heal more people. I mean, they were sick people everywhere. And it's not like here today where we can find some of our sick people in hospitals and care centers and nursing homes. They were just there. And sometimes they were out in public waiting for somebody to help them. Or in the case of the man that's in the pool, he was waiting for somebody to help him to the pool so he could be healed that way. And here's the thing, and it's a key thing, but it's almost like another moment, that Jesus was a human being. He was a single man. Yes, I know he was the Son of God. He was God himself. But when he came to earth, he lived in a body like you and me. He was one person in one place at one time. And let me think about this on a step by step basis. Every miracle was Christmas. God on earth and God on woman on the cross. Every miracle was Christmas. And I like that to myself, which has nothing to do with service, but I like that to myself that I'm not just part of the crowd that, you know, people in the past are saying that we're going to get this gift. But God works one on one. You might be thinking, but he works with all of us, but he works with all of us. And he works with all of us. Now, the other thing I want you to notice here, or just to admit, is that Jesus is missing. You know what he's missing at? The first thank you. He is on mission to go to the cross. Everything else that he does is along the path to the cross. Jesus had a mission. He came to die so we might live. Everything else he did was on the way to the cross, on the way to God. And further, in addition to all of this, the healed, in their excitement, they insisted on telling other people that they had been healed, even everyone. I don't know about you, but I think if I had been sick and say one time or I had disease that might be sick and everybody else and somebody touched me and healed me, I might want to tell somebody. And that was the reality in the situation. They came to him because they had heard about the healing. They came to him because they had heard about the miracle. They came to him perhaps in search of something he was suffering. So this mundane aspect of life, physical healing, when Jesus had come on a mission to free our soul from slavery to death. If I can think about what you are on a day-to-day basis, don't most of us, don't say that out loud because you don't want your neighbors to hear the person, but don't most of us want to fix what's broken that we're measuring as most important as one? Isn't that how we live? These people are like us. They lived in the moment. If your life gets built on us, you don't think about a new car that way. You think about getting your life accepted. If you run out of, I don't know, Cheerios, and that's your main thing, you think about getting a Cheerios situation running. And these people are just like us. They were living in the now. And yet the man we were going to the fix the now was the man who came to fix everything for us. But they were excited about the things that were happening now.
But still, as we think about Jesus' mission, he turned to speak and say that he could walk those who were lost. The many, many miracles along the way were in addition to, and at the same time, a taste of what was to come. He showed them what he was capable of, what God was capable of, and he told them of the more that he was going to make. And today's study passage will help us see this dynamic in play all around Jesus. When you see these large crowds pressing against him, and you hear the cry, "Please help me!" Sometimes just the word. And you really know that Jesus is our mission. That is why he is here among us. And yet, the question there is, we look at this passage, he fought for this one man. A man that most others worked very hard not to see. He was a leper. He was a social athlete. He was weak to the man. He was the one that he was. Let me tell you a little bit about leprosy. Leprosy was a contagious disease. And contagious diseases, if you study history, the history of diseases, they always rattle even the brain. Not unlike other parts of COVID when it was full blown, the first century people, they avoided contact with those who infected. So COVID was blowing around. We wore masks to protect ourselves, and some of us wore masks to protect others when we had it. And in so doing, what we did is we created a buffer, a safe distance to protect ourselves and others involved. And in Jesus' day, the weight was on the leper to keep their distance. He or she that was infected with the disease, it was their job, their social duty, their religious. It is very tough to announce that to stay away from you. In Jesus' day, leprosy was devastating. And that's just because of early ways of dying. It also became a reason for social rejection. You know, a doorway of unfurled, 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 as people came near so they would not come near it. That was defiled the leper. And that was scripture. Listen from Leviticus. There's a couple of passages in Leviticus that want to say. In Leviticus chapter 13, we read these words. Anyone with such a defiling disease, leprosy, that type of disease, must wear a torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, even their nails out of their face, and say, "Unclean, unclean." And as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone, and they must live outside of the camp, not with people. They were no longer normal people. They were unclean. They left the top. They looked different, and they announced that they were different. "I'm not like you. Keep away from me. I'm unclean. I am a social outcast. I am unwanted. I am rejected. I am avoided. I am to be avoided." Now, they don't understand leprosy as we do today, but they understood that it was life-threatening and almost always safe. And the leper in our passage was not to assume that he did what he was supposed to do. Being a Jewish person, he had heard the law, he knew what it was. He was probably reminded if he ever violated it. You're supposed to yell at him from here. It would have been his responsibility, his social duty, as an outcast, as an unwanted, to remind people that that's who he was. His family would have announced it. His face being covered would have announced it. Wearing torn clothes would have announced it. And as an individual, personally wearing this aggressive disease, he was probably treated hard. It was a state that he took to be worse than sickness, the state that could be worse than sickness if you don't imagine it. But the disease that was wearing your body away, and yet had something that was worse. Separation. And so, as we have that personal reminder of this individual who is a common mass of wounds, heard that Jesus was there, had heard about Jesus, and stepped up on that page that we read in verse 4. When Jesus came down to the mountainside to one of the towns, large crowds followed him, and a man with leprosy, who was covered with leprosy, came to him and begged him on his knees, fell on his face to the ground, begging him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, it's easy to listen to his words as I read it, because I'm not quite that he's got amplification, he can hear it. But let's not miss what he requested. He didn't actually ask to be healed. He didn't ask to be healed. But what did he ask? And the healing is inherent in that. He asked what he thought was most broken in his life. He said, "If you are willing, declare me clean. Make me whole. Restore my humanity." Remember, in that society, at that time in history, he wasn't just sick. He was diseased. He was labeled as other, unworthy to be around regular people. And he wanted that back. And so he said, "Not just heal me, but make me or declare me to be clean. Let me be a person again. I want to come my life. I want to do my skin and maybe I'll do this better." He wanted normal. The body would not be allowed until he had been declared clean. Yes, there's a healing there, but this isn't about healing. This is what Jesus does best, I think. He restores us to the state we have in the eyes of God. In our hearts, in our relationship, he is able to restore us. And so, as this man asked, he didn't ask if you could hear him. He knew Jesus could hear him. He was scared of the face of the other nation. He knew what he could do. But what he wanted to know is what he would do. Would he restore his life, his dignity, allow him a second chance? As I started thinking about it, there's always something to do with this. I was thinking about what is going on in our world where we have this need of being clean or not clean. And I'm thinking about all the people that I've ever met in my life, all the people that I've read about, all the people that I'm aware of that I've not met. And there are people around us who are broken. They know they are broken. And some of them know they're broken in a way that just seems to own rejection. I think of the addict that often finds others repulsed by their apparent weakness. I mean, if he was disgusted, he wouldn't do that. Or the dying addict who begging again, or lost their job again, or got kicked out of their apartment again. And people just assume, well, they weren't going to raise them. If they just stayed with it, come on. Well, there are some diseases. And we see people who got through what people did. And sometimes they're mental conditions that have physical effects. And don't we see people? Maybe we walk a larger berth around them. They don't like us. mean, they're loving to make babies, but they're also not like those that we live with most of the time. I've been appalled over the last few months as a racist. It's become a habit of doing it. I'm embarrassed some days to say I'm embarrassed. Because corporately, it's how we treat the people who aren't like that. But who are we? It's because of place where anybody can come and be served. And so I felt, yeah, this passage is calling for us today. It fits right at home right now because we are people who treat each other. They're less than us. They're not like us. But we don't want them around. So this passage has a little bit more weight as we think about it. And I don't know if I knew, but I didn't have to think very long to realize I think I can feel the pain with somebody who was like, verse 41, Jesus was moved. Jesus was at the end. I think he did this for long work here. He was moved with compassion. His heart broke for this man. And he reached out his hand and he touched the man. And he says, I am willing to be cured. And immediately he was cleansed up. The leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Moved with compassion. That story of the death. It's a visceral response to the circumstance when your sword is broken and healed before the person. Jesus was considering how he had been treated. And he touched the leper. He stepped further. Get this. He stepped further. He didn't violate the law. He stepped over. He didn't agree that he stepped over because he was dead. And the land is ready to protect the individual from the disease that is contagious. And he stepped over that land and touched the man because he was blind. He was not indifferent. But he modeled for us a level of pain. These isolating words, so tough, so go near. Jesus saw the man under with so much more than that, Jesus declared the man clean. And going forward, it is this kind of action, it's declaring people to be clean where they have been labeled by others, maybe by the church, their church. He was going to irritate those leaders. It would sound like he was supplanting historic established religious rulers. But it does have problems. It has served to never failing ground. People are people. Some people are more people than other people. And Jesus was going to face that. Just going to heal, cleanse, restore. Jesus restored the man's whole life and his dignity. But this was not like getting better from the pain. The last 10, 12 days I've been dealing with chronic infection. It's not like that. Not that we have stages. There's a rest. There's a flutter of life. There's some numbness. And then there's a loss of body parts. How many people have ever seen their death? And you say, oh, I'm cursed. Well, Jesus said that you can't stay in the room, right? Who in the top? Who might have dragged his foot and just thought his toes? Same thing with the toes. Very good, just right away. But the words in the passage tell us Jesus restored him, made him whole. But you know, how do you put it, Lord? We don't know how far God he was in the beginning, but we know that when Jesus touched him, he restored him. Isn't that what Jesus does Christ. And listening to the hired preacher talk about Jesus, talk about law, talk about salvation, talk about hell, talk about heaven. And my question here is, I'm wanting to miss it. No, I want to be saved. And what if I knew in that moment, I was no longer dirty. My soul was no longer dirty. I had listened to the explanation of that stuff. I had responded to it, and I was clean. I know how he said it. Do you remember your life? Do you remember when you wanted what Jesus offered? Do you remember how you asked him, Lord, if you were willing? Lord, rescue me. Lord, do you remember that? Did you feel clean? Did you know that you were other on the other side of that? The miracle wasn't simply about a disease, it was about a broken heart, a broken life. A heart that represented the past and the life. Jesus healed, but he also restored, he redeemed, he brought him back to his passion. Jesus, ready to forgive a person who reaches out in faith to the cross, who turns back, who draws back from death to life. He rescues the soul that had no hope. The question for this afternoon is, where are you? Are you a servant? Are you a customer? Are you a part from God? Have you become somehow separate? Was it a sin? Maybe it's been a life that's been changing, maybe it's too busy. But suddenly you realize I'm alone, I'm walking without him. You don't have to say that. Jesus doesn't want to be with you. He invites us to reach out. Will you make me clean? Will you restore what I've messed up? Will you restore what I've allowed to slip away? What most report here is what happens to us. What most we're here, most we're saying, Jesus cleanses. Here's a look at three choices. You three. You all went to the back row. You all went to the back row. You too. You guys were. He has a mission for us. He sends us. But the question is, do we actually go and serve the mission? Or do we merely memorialize the fact that we have a Jesus to come? Back in 37, I raised my hand. Back in 93, I raised my hand. We remember it. It's like and a world that's in our head. And you kind of live off the memory of having been saved. Let me think about it. Because that's not the extent. That's what he does. This man here, he was sent. He was sent that he was sent that he might announce his return. He's referring to life among people. But in that day, there was an appropriate way to do it. He would need to satisfy the Jewish law, the historical official. And Jesus didn't ignore the law when he healed the man who reached over to condition his healing. But the law was still there for him. An ancient person at that time who had been a leper, who had been healed, was on his path. He needed to appear before the priest, the local priest. He needed to show them the wounds that were now healed. we needed to make an appropriate offer. The man was not just sent, he was also sent away with instructions not to call it any way to hide what had happened. And Jesus wasn't trying to hide what he said, but he was trying to protect his kingdom ministry. He said one man said this miracle would draw more people, which would be so hard on his way to the cross. And as we're looking at Jesus goes with this man in his final words in the passage, he can set up two things that were so important to happen. And they did. The healer, having been glorified by the priest, but there's one more prayer that said he really is who he claims to be because look what he did. And Jesus would have moved to protect his ministry through silencing this man who didn't keep silent and continued to test. This is what it says in the text of 42. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. And that very strong warning, it means strong warning. He really meant it when he said, "Peter, you don't have to say anything. But Jesus, show yourself to the priest. And after the sacrifices that Moses did, I don't think Jesus remembered that. I don't think he said words that the man wouldn't understand. He said, don't tell anybody, show the priest, do what you're supposed to do. Because you have been cleansed. It's a testimony to them. You're blessed. Instead, he went on and began to talk through and spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, and he had to use lots of lonely places where he prayed. And yet the people still came to him from everywhere to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. The man disobeyed Jesus. In his excitement, all in terror, in his excitement, he did what most people would have done. He called on his faith. And God, I am saying, now to God of life.
And the result is that, as I said, the testimony about Jesus' deity was lost. And Jesus' ministry was canceled. Compromised his ministry and his presence because of the cross. That's what the text talks about. The big picture is Jesus' ministry cut down, we know that. He did go to the cross, we know that. But might take a picture here that I think we need to take apart. The man's disobedience hampered what could have taken place. The man's possible oversight limited the testimony about Jesus, the Son of God. My friends, do we do the same thing? Not say what we should say or say what we shouldn't say. If we get in the way, we hamper Jesus' ministry to others because of what we do or don't do. My prophet, Pastor, what I want to do. Let me summarize these verses for us to come back. I think so. There might be 10 or 15 or 20. First, teamwork is valuable. Every life is equally valuable and precious. Second, God is not just able, but also desires to rescue and restore broken lives. We have to run to God with our brokenness, with our diseases, with our problems. We can drag our loved ones along with us, kicking and screaming. We should feel so strongly about this that our strength in our faith, in our desire, is that in fear they can't miss what's being said.
and you can't hurt them believe. But you can leave them with the impression that this is so important that you can't everything else is bad for you. And you're not going to offer me that every character is offered to them to help somebody. Even if you always talk to them, we are proving